to the Bumblecast. I'm your host, Ian Flynn, the Bumble King, and joining me as always is that ever-efficient and effective co-host, Kyle Krauss.
Oh, wow. That's very clever, sir.
Thank you.
That's deep. Not deep with three E's. that's how deep it is.
Yeah, okay, I'll take that. We'll run with that.
I don't know where. Anyway, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, sir. How are you?
I'm all right. So what's been going on in your neck of the woods these days?
Oh, not so fun stuff. But the fun stuff is my fine followers on Twitter convinced me to take the plunge and pick up Hyrule Warriors Definitive Edition for the Switch. Not sponsored, unfortunately.
Dang.
I was a huge fan of the Wii U version and played it to death, but kind of hit a wall at one point because certain upgrades require certain drops, and those were like pulling teeth.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually I just kind of burned out on it. And then the Switch version is a enhanced version of the 3DS version. So you get all the costumes, all the characters, all the weapons, all the maps, all the perks. And I was like, that's really tempting because I missed out on the 3DS version, but I didn't want to hit that wall again. You know, I don't want to spend serious money to replay the same game and hit the same roadblock.
Right.
And I'm very happy to say that if you've been on the fence, if you loved the Wii U, if you're like me and you love the Wii U version, miss the 3DS version and want to maybe take the plunge, do it. Do it. Because it is extremely forgiving. I think they either listened to people saying that it's a bit of a grind, or they figured, okay, this is the third time around, we're just going to give them an easy way in. The drops seem far more generous.
Huh.
The progression seems a lot faster, at least from what I remember of the Wii U version. I mean, you still have to play the game. It's not like they hand everything to you on a silver platter.
Dang.
But the game is so incredibly addictively fun anyway, and it feels like you're getting rewarded faster so that you can get into the meat of the thing even faster. It's good. It's problematically good. It's probably should have turned this off 2 hours ago. Good.
Uh-oh.
And the thing is, I've barely scratched a bloody surface. I've just gone through story mode, nothing else. You know, none of the extra scatolas or heart pieces. And I'm about 35% into the first adventure map. And haven't even unlocked the My Fairy feature because I couldn't find any so far. And there's like 8 more adventure maps after that,
yeah,
plus all the other features.
Yeah, they added a lot.
So it is the gift that keeps on giving. It's one of the best bang for your buck games out there. Oh, my goodness.
Plus,
you unlock Ganon mode like almost first thing. Which is one of the reasons why it's so easy to level up early on is because you go in as Ganon and you just start eating things left and right.
Yeah, Ganon mode is ridiculously hilarious.
Oh, I love it.
It was great.
So if you were on the fence like I was because of the grind or for any other reason, I say go for it.
Yeah.
Now, part of that is I know what I'm doing this time around. There was a bit of a learning curve in the Wii U version,
sure.
But I think it is generally gentler with you.
It's a Musou game. It's not very deep. It's pretty straightforward.
No, but it does one thing right, and it does it really right.
Yeah, yeah.
I do feel like I run into more glitches, though, because I've managed to get stuck in walls more than once.
I've heard it's a little glitchy and that the frame rate's really inconsistent. I don't know.
Oh, it's extremely inconsistent.
I don't know if you've noticed that. That was kind of the case with the Wii U version, though. And the 3DS version was like, holy crap. Especially if you're using the original 3DS. It's like, the original 3DS does not like that game at all.
Now, when I say the frame rate is inconsistent, it never really drops below, I guess, 30 FPS. Not that I've, you know, analyzed it or anything.
Yeah, I think it's like it's just 40-ish, yeah.
It's just when you clear out a room and nothing has loaded in yet, you can see the spike. It's like, oh, wow, it's suddenly going really smooth and fast. Oh, okay, but now we're back to normal. It never looks bad.
Yeah.
And I've never been stuck in a position where I can't proceed. Mm-hmm. It's just every now and again, it's like, I am in first-person mode as Link and shouldn't be. Help?
The multiplayer apparently also really suffers, especially because it's split-screen.
Yeah. Yeesh. But that's that. What have you been up to, sir?
Well, I wish I could say I was doing something really cool and fun, but I'm not really. I mean, I guess to date this episode a little bit, I finally picked up the Disney Afternoon Collection and started playing it last night for Bumblecast Gaming.
And how'd that go?
I had a really good time with it. I played through and beat with not a great ending, with like the regular ending, I think, DuckTales 2, which is one of the rarest NES games, because it came out in 1992, which is year after the Super Nintendo launched in North America. So, most people haven't even played it, I don't believe, until this collection came out, at least, which is just a really great collection. It's got 6 games on it, of the Disney Afternoon games that were released for the NES. So you've got DuckTales 1 and 2, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers 1 and 2, Tailspin and Darkwing Duck, all in one collection, the NES games. And they're really well done. And they give you a rewind function, so you can easily rewind instead of having to play the stages over and over. So, you know, you can beat the games in like an hour.
Without throwing your controller through the TV.
Yeah. So, you know, it makes the games a lot shorter, because the replay value kind of goes out the window with not having to do entire stages over and over after getting a game over. But at the same time, the games aren't that difficult to begin with, so...
Oh, they're not Nintendo hard?
No, actually, no, not really. To be honest, DuckTales 1 is pretty easy. Actually, quite easy. DuckTales 2 is pretty easy. There were a couple of things that got me tripped up, and I got kind of lost, but thanks to Scruffy Matt, who was hanging out in the chat, I had some help, so he got me through there. He had actually just recently played through the game himself, so... That was pretty handy.
Scruffy Man is very handy during the Bubblecast live.
he's a good dude. He helps out a lot.
I try to be the entertainer, but it's like, what do I do? Scruffy, help!
Yeah. So that's a really cool collection of games, and I'm just glad it exists, because I did not expect it to even happen. Like, really? You're coming out with these games on the collection? I'm not complaining in the slightest, because all 6 of these games are some of the best that the NES had to offer. But I was just really surprised that it even existed, because I don't know. Disney's just been pretty open to re-releasing stuff lately. So I know there's a bunch of Disney games up on GOG now. Their old Disney GOG or Disney DOS games.
Oh,
are
wow.
up on GOG now, so that's really cool too. They've been apparently really receptive to going through their back catalog and re-releasing stuff, so I'm very pleased to see that. I'm always glad to have those games preserved. I think I like video game preservation. I think it's a good thing. So
yeah,
and that's about all I've been up to. So.
No, right. Now, before we move on to the show itself, I just want to toss this out here. If you happen to be in the Charlotte, North Carolina area this coming weekend after the Bumblecast, head on down to the Convention Center and come see me at Heroes Con. I'll be down there with fellow Sonic alum Aaliyah Baker, Adam Bryce Thomas, Tracy Yardley, Jem Amish, Teresa Davidson? Teresa Davidson, there we go.
Yeah.
Sorry, Teresa. And come on by. We'll sign some books. We'll talk some Sonic or anything else. Come on down. It's a good show.
Sign some books, have a few laughs.
Go to heroesonline.com for all the details.
All right. Well,
Kyle, I believe it is time for the Bumble Raffle.
You too can win at the Bumble Raffle. And you, and you, and you, and possibly even you, maybe.
Everyone can win the Bumble Raffle. All you have to do is either write into us at bumblecast@yahoo.com for each episode you want to be entered into, or be a patron over at patreon.com/bumblecast and be automatically entered into every single drawing. Kyle, this week's winner is...
Adam T.
Congratulations, Adam. We will be in touch with you as soon as possible, and you get to pick your prize. What is it? You'll find out.
You get to pick a prize. Pick a prize. Pick a prize. Pick a prize. That's fun to say. Pick a prize.
It is very fun.
Yes. Congratulations, Adam. Have fun with your prize.
So, aside from HeroesCon, which is the major event everyone's looking forward to, there's a small electronics expo that might be happening beforehand. You may have heard of it. It may be early Christmas for most of us. It's E3.
Yeah. You know it. It's not CES. It's not that. It's not the Computer Entertainment Show.
It's not the Tokyo Game Show.
No.
It's E3.
It's not Computex, which is actually going on right now.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been following pretty closely, which is cool. So, but we're not here to talk about that one. We're here to talk about E3, which... apparently everything has been announced already for E3, so...
Oh, really?
I don't know. It seems like it. There's not really a whole heck of a lot to for E3 to announce that's left. Pretty much everything has already been, kind of been leaked from what I've seen.
Well, see, I've not paid too close attention to that because people have their leaked schedules all the time. And leafing through it all and seeing what's the real one and what's not is... more of a hassle than I want to go through. I'll just sit back and enjoy the ride. But every year, I can never find a concise list of who revealed what until well after the event. You know, I can't stay up every day and stay glued to the computer. Well,
there are a lot of smaller... A lot of times, the smaller stuff that comes out of E3 doesn't necessarily get... not necessarily get quote-unquote leaked. I think a lot of the leaks now are kind of intentional for the most part. Like, the new Assassin's Creed game was leaked because somebody found a keychain that had the logo on it or something for the new game. It's like, well, that's... how unintentional is that? I don't know. It seems rather unlikely.
I don't know, man. The more I move on in the world as time marches inexorably by,
yeah,
the more it's like, yeah, really stupid oversights like that seem pretty common.
Yeah.
I can't give it the benefit of the doubt anymore. Somebody legit lost a keychain and spoiled everything.
Yeah, or there's just all sorts of silly stuff that happens. Where it's like, oh yeah, Walmart... Canada accidentally released their site listings for a bunch of upcoming games that aren't announced yet. And, oh, here they are. And then all the publishers are like, oh, yeah, those games are coming out. They do exist. Here's a trailer for them. I think Team Sonic Racing was one of those that actually was leaked before they were going to announce it. And then Sega's just like, okay, fine. It's real.
Yeah. It was at some trade show or something, I think.
Yeah, and it's like, all right, that's got to be intentional. At this point, it's really seeming like it's intentional because everybody wants to get ahead of E3 now. Because at E3, there's just a big deluge of news, and now everybody wants to get ahead of it, so there's a big deluge of news ahead of E3.
I'm sure there'll be some surprises. I mean, Nintendo themselves have mastered the art.
I'm sure there'll be plenty of surprises. It's just, you know, a lot of the bigger stuff we've already heard about, so. But.
Well, you have. I've been keeping my head down because I figured it's all fake, so.
It's weird that I kind of end up just hearing about. I hear about this mostly through podcasts, actually, so. I just have. I get podcasts in my ears all day at work, so that's how I kind of hear about this stuff. I hear gaming podcasts and game news and stuff, and it's like, oh, okay, cool. That's pretty much how I hear about all this stuff. I'm not really like seeking it out so much as it's just piped into my ears all day.
Well, then let's get your hot take by distributor and publisher and whatnot. For is there anything on Microsoft's end that you're really looking forward to them trotting out during E3?
Well, actually, I'm not sure. I don't think Microsoft has too much planned. I don't think Microsoft's been, I don't think much has been released yet as far as E3. I know they're going to be having a live stream, but I don't know what they're doing. They don't have any hardware to release this year, I don't think.
Because they just came out with the upgraded Xbone, right?
Yeah, the Xbox One X came out a year ago. And I guess the only thing is that Crackdown's been delayed until Crackdown 3 was delayed. So they don't really have too much to announce.
Maybe I heard Crackdown was canceled outright.
Oh, I don't know. Hmm. Maybe a Halo game. That would be the only thing. Or like
all they have left.
Gears of War and Forza, maybe. That's really it. Microsoft doesn't have a whole heck of a lot. Nintendo, that could be Metroid Prime 4.
Oh, I'm sure we'll get some news on that.
And the recent Pokemon stuff, I'm sure they'll probably show more of.
Yeah.
And there was, go ahead.
You think we'll actually get anything extensive on the next generation, or you think they'll focus almost exclusively on Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee?
They'll probably focus only on what's been announced, really. Maybe they'll show like a teaser or something for the new Pokemon games, but for the upcoming full Pokemon games. But I think they'll probably just focus on what's immediately coming up. Nintendo doesn't tend to spend much time focusing on stuff that's really far out. They tend to kind of announce stuff that's far out, but also try to keep the focus on what's coming immediately or coming soon rather than stuff that's really far away. So
I'm sure they'll be pushing the Octo expansion for Splatoon 2 pretty hard.
Yeah.
Since that should be out very soon.
Mm-hmm. There is a quote unquote rumor that Fortnite is going to be on the Switch, which is, it's pretty much confirmed by all but any publishers at this point. So Epic, I don't think Epic's confirmed it yet, but there's a recent firmware update for the Switch that has like the Fortnite menu logo in there. And it's like, well, I guess the Fortnite's coming to the Switch, so you can play some Fortnite on the go. I'm just wondering.
Invariably, there will be plenty of Nintendo skins for that. We can look forward to those.
Yeah, yep. There'll be plenty of running around as Mario or whatever in that, I'm sure.
I would imagine we should see some news on the new Fire Emblem main.
I haven't heard anything about that, so that's a possibility.
Because they announced it only in terms of title alone last E3 when they also trotted out Fire Emblem Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
So you would think they would give us a little more to chew on this time around.
Yeah, maybe. Rumor has it that there's a Star Fox Racing game, which is interesting.
I heard that and not sure if want.
Well, I like racing games. I think that's my thing. It's like, I like Star Fox and I like racing games. Maybe they could pull it off. Seems a little weird. But
we haven't had a good Star Fox game in so long. If they basically have to raid F-Zero's corpse to make a good Star Fox tie-in,
I guess I'm sad that they have to you'd consider F-Zero a corpse. But yeah, at this point, almost.
Yeah. If it does come to pass, the only thing I demand that they have in the game is Prince Tricky, who has no vehicle. He just has rockets strapped to his sides.
Yeah. There's also rumors abound that there's going to be an N64 Classic Edition, which I think was semi-confirmed through trademark filings, I think. So we may be getting an N64 Classic Edition, which would be interesting. I don't know what would be on an N64 Classic Edition, considering most of the good games were third-party games. Well, I should say that a lot of what the N64's library is known for is third-party. So yeah, that would be interesting. There's...
I'm sure we'd get Mario 64, Star Fox 64.
Oh, yeah, of course.
F-Zero X?
Yes, F-Zero X. I hope we'd get F-Zero
Zeldas.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Pokemon Snap?
Maybe. Probably. I would say probably. Let's see. What else would we get on an N64 Classic Edition? Well, Rare is out, probably.
Yeah.
Unless Nintendo and Microsoft work out some kind of deal, which is not impossible. Rare did release some Game Boy Advance games after they were bought by Microsoft. So they're not averse to releasing games on other consoles necessarily, other competitors' consoles, but that was a long time ago, so who knows? But
plus, Microsoft, can you even play the remade Banjo Kazooie titles anymore? Or are those, you know, no, unless you have a 360?
They're still on 360, and they're also in Rare Replay, the Rare collection that came out for Xbox One, which I really want to get, even though I don't even have a system to play it on. But it's like that's another collection of games that I'm just like, man, I'm really glad you guys are preserving these, because it's kind of legendary. The only thing missing is 007, GoldenEye.
Buyer beware on the Rare collection. Not that I've had a lot of experience with it, but from what little I dabbled, the control scheme was awful.
Really?
Yeah, like, why would you do this awful?
Huh.
So, maybe I didn't see enough of it, but I remember being very turned off by what little I did see.
Yeah. When it comes to Sony, I guess...
Whoa, you're missing the big one, my friend.
What am I missing?
Smash Brothers.
Oh! Ah, okay, yeah.
Playable Smash Brothers.
Yeah, okay. I still haven't heard anything else about it, though.
Well, that's the thing. They said that they're going to keep a lot of it under wraps still, but they will have a playable build, invitational only tournament play.
Okay.
I would assume we'll see the Inkling in play somehow, since they were announced already.
They still haven't confirmed or denied that it's an enhanced port of Smash 4.
Given what I've seen around, it sounds like it is a new build, that it is a new game. It isn't just Smash 4 Plus.
Huh.
It may not reinvent a lot, but from what I've heard of various rumors and insider talk, it does sound like it's a new game.
It must be like new-ish, as in it's heavily based on the engine, but they've given it a new coat of paint and stuff, some new features and things into it, but not really gone to the full extent of just starting from scratch. Because it seems like every time they make a Smash Brothers game, they kind of start from almost nothing. That's what it seems like to me, and it doesn't feel like it's been long enough for a new fresh Smash. It seems weird.
Well, when 4 was first announced, there was also talk that 5 was already in development, and since 4 was being built with the 3DS and Wii U in mind, I believe they've been now. I could be wrong. But from everything I've heard, I think they've been building 5 from the get-go as the Switch title, since it would more or less have to run on something fairly different. It's not hampered by the 3DS tie-in. It's going to be mobile Switch anyway. So I think it's going to be new.
Huh. Well, if it was, the development was coincided, I'm sure there's a lot of crossover, though, too.
Oh, sure,
As in, development time spent on one was also kind of spent on the other. Or, like, the development time for both was equally distributed or something like that.
You would hope.
It just seems really weird to be like, and here's a new Smash Brothers, like, within the first 2 years of the new console? That's weird. That's a very... that's a very non-Nintendo thing to do, is to come out with Smash Brothers so fast. It usually takes a little while longer. Although, now that I think about it, it was 2 years in, because it was 2006 was the release of the Wii, I think. And then Smash, and then Brawl came out in 08. So, yeah, I guess two. Okay, fine.
Plus, if we've got a new Fire Emblem on the horizon, and uh-huh. Smash Brothers is kind of known for their Fire Emblem representation.
Yeah.
Take that as you will. I wonder if we'll get some kind of immediate cross-promotion between the two and them show off the mascot character, title character, whoever you want to call it, from New Fire Emblem in Smash. Or if they'll keep that a secret. I don't know. I want to know. And I'm going to be driving to Charlotte when all of this is being debuted, Kyle!
It's okay. Maybe someone will keep you updated. It'll be like, here's some cool things that came out that happened.
I can't look at my phone, Kyle. I'm going to be driving. And then I'm going to be in a hotel with its crappy Wi-Fi. So the 45-minute Nintendo Direct will take forever to download. And I'm going to be really tired anyway because it'll be like 2 in the morning. And I have to get up and I have to get back on the road. And,
can you say, anyway, can Dalia relay notes to you?
It's probably not a good idea as I'm swinging through the Appalachians, you know. Oh, and this is going to be what?
Okay. That'd be pretty funny, though. I mean, the car accident wouldn't be that funny, but everything else would be. Everything else would be. I don't know. I'm just imagining you having a reaction while driving, and it's amusing. I am entertained. So there's that. I don't know, man. Is Fire Emblem the most represented franchise in Smash Brothers yet? I think it's pretty close. Much. I think it's pretty close.
Except maybe Mario, but that doesn't really count.
No. Mario. I don't even. I think it might even be catching up to Mario. It's like, man, I didn't know Fire Emblem was this popular. I know it's huge, but I didn't realize it was that huge.
All right. So, not so this show becomes nothing but Smash Brothers, but who is your number one hopeful newcomer to Smash Brothers? And who would be your most hilarious, salt-inducing, why would they do this inclusion?
I'm still hoping, holding out hope for Shovel Knight and or Shantae for new characters. It's possible. I'm hoping. And as far as like the troll character, trying to think. Jeez, who would be good for that? Like, I don't know, Tingle. That's the obvious one.
Dadgummit, you took mine.
let me think here. I don't know, like the Excite Bike guy. Maybe that might be fun. I'd play that. I'd play as the Excite Bike. We need something like Duck Hunt again, the Duck Hunt dog.
I'm sure we'll get something bizarre and retro that nobody would have thought of.
Something silly. I'm trying to think of like something old, like some really classic Nintendo thing that's just off the wall. Like, I don't know, maybe. Is that. Has that Ultra Hand appeared in Smash Brothers at all? It probably has at some point.
Ultra Hand?
Probably been a reference. Yeah, it was, I think it was before Nintendo even made the NES. It's like it's one of those Extendo Hand toys that you pull it and it stretches out and it clamps on things. That's like one of Nintendo's biggest things from before they were a video game company. Except I think they had the Game & Watch then too. But yeah, that's like one of Gunpei Yokoi's claims to fame pre-Game Boy was that Extendo Hand clampy thingy that's just like a silly toy.
I wouldn't put it past him.
I don't know, throw that in Smash Brothers. Why not? Ultra Hand, you know? You've got Crazy Hand and Master Hand, and now you can have Ultra Hand! I'm down.
Darn it, I want that now.
I'm down. We need that. Need that in my life. What about you? You got any other ideas other than Tingle?
Well, see, that's the thing, is that, you know, I really want Hyrule Warrior style Impa.
Ah, yes. I want Hyrule Warriors. I just want Hyrule Warriors in Smash. Can we just have that?
Yeah.
Can we just bring all the characters over with all their fighting styles? Just boom, port them right in. They'll fit.
But yeah, you know, they start up that beautiful CG intro, and you've got Link, and you got Zelda, and turns into Sheik to fight Ganondorf, and you're like, oh, who's that on the horizon? Who's that awesome character on the horizon?
Yes. Oh.
And instead of saying, you know, Tingle joins the fight or pays his way, it just says Kululimpa, and oh god. I would main him, of course, just to troll people.
I would like that, and to do that, and then after that, Impa runs up and smacks him out of the way, and he goes flying, and then the camera switches over to her, and she's like, boom, newcomer, Impa. So all we right, have two, I'd we got, you got two for one in one.
I'd yeah, legit like to see a new DK rep or a new Samus rep.
Mm-hmm.
And don't give me that Ridley's too big nonsense. None of the characters are their appropriate heights or sizes.
Yeah. Knowing our luck, it would just be like Dark Samus from Metroid Prime 2 or something.
If she had an interesting enough moveset, maybe. But, okay, I absolutely adored Kid Icarus Uprising.
Uh-huh, yes.
But Pit and Dark Pit as two different characters is...
Yeah.
Especially since Pit is basically nerfed Dark Pit. There's no reason to play as anyone but Dark Pit.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think this episode's getting a little Smash Brothers heavy, so you want to talk about Sony? So, you want to talk about Sony a little bit?
Yeah, go for it.
There's, like, nothing on the horizon hardware-wise. The PlayStation VR seems to kind of be... dead? Not maybe not dead, but kind of languishing. So I guess really the only thing you have to look forward to is the new Spider-Man game, which does look really cool, I will say.
It is pretty.
Yes.
Nothing about what I've seen has really gotten me eager to play it again. It's not Spider-Man 2 on the GameCube again, which is really the pinnacle of Spider-Man gaming, but I don't know. Maybe when they show off a bit more, I'll be more intrigued.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. You got Last of Us Part 2. That's all I know. I haven't even played the first one, which I want, yeah, and I want to, but I just haven't gotten around to it yet. And then Death Stranding from good old Kojima.
You think we'll actually get some gameplay, or is it just going to be another trailer that makes you go,
I don't think we're ever going to get any gameplay. I think even when the game comes out, we're not going to get any gameplay. We're just going to be confused and lost. It's not going to be like a movie. It's just going to be like, what even is this? I think if we ever get gameplay of that game, everyone's just going to be disappointed because it's been so like hyped up as this very, very weird and obscure, or not obscure as in the sense that it's like rare or anything, it's like, or unknown, it's like rare or obscure as in the sense that it's just strange. And if they try to introduce gameplay into that, it seems to me like that would just make it so pedestrian and boring and normal. If they try to be like, oh, here's gameplay, okay, so it is a video game, you can actually play it, and it's like, oh, well, it's just like some kind of horror action game that is like every other horror action game. That's like, what? That's kind of boring for a game that's been so shrouded in mystery and so completely like undefinable at this up till this point. It would just be weird to have like actual gameplay for that game now at this point.
I will crack up if, you know, the newest trailer plays and you still have no idea what's going on in it, and Norman Reedus is carrying his fetus And suddenly there's a codec call, and Snake pops up and says, "Kept you waiting, didn't I?" And it turns out to actually be another Metal Gear all this time.
Oh.
Metal Gear 6, Death Stranding, and the entire world explodes by going, "What?"
I just want them to rename it Reedus' Fetus. Oh, man. That would be pretty hilarious if it were another Metal Gear Solid game and just hiding in there, but I'd kind of doubt it considering the Konami Sony deal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know.
It's supreme.
I want it to be a Kojima level rude. I really want it to be just that nonsensical.
It's supremely unlikely, but given Kojima's penchant for trolling, I would not be surprised if it ends up being something like that, which would be pretty hilarious. I enjoy a good innocuous troll, so I would like that.
So I'm guessing Konami hasn't said boo about anything. They're all off with their pachinko machines.
Konami is doing what Konami does. They're releasing Super Bomberman R for, I think that just came out for like PS4. So that's no longer a Switch exclusive, if anybody was worried about that. That's about the only thing I've heard from Konami recently. So I'm surprised Konami is even making video games at this point. Much less Bomberman, but hey,
yeah, well, somebody's over there enjoys the series.
Somebody
fighting hard for it.
Somebody over there is keeping Hudson alive, I guess. Poor Hudson, I feel so bad for them. They got bought by the worst possible company.
Capcom's going to be showing off more Mega Man 11.
Yeah, I still haven't even seen the trailer for the one, and it annoys me. I've heard so much about it, and I don't keep forgetting to check out the trailer, but I've heard about it, and what I've heard sounds really cool, so I'm still looking forward to it. I mean, it's a Mega Man game, of course I'm looking forward to it, but
oh sure,
yeah. So I think that's mainly about it. I know there's another Assassin's Creed game coming.
Man, I fell off that bandwagon hard.
I've not even delved into the series, really. I know I'm missing out, but man, I have like so many freaking games. I've so many backlogs, Ian. That's one reason why I don't even have a Switch, because it's like I haven't even played all the games that I have for Wii U. I have a whole shelf full of Wii games that I haven't even touched, and it's like, what am I gonna do with my life? I guess if my life is just go to work and play video games, but I go to work and then I come home and then I don't even feel like playing any video games, and it makes me sad.
What you do is you build a fort of regret, and then you can say, one of these days I will disassemble this fort.
Build a fort of regret out of my backlog?
Yes.
Oh, man, you should. My digital backlog, I'd be able to build like a mansion out of it. It's bad. It's really bad. I have a big problem of buying games and never playing them. It's bad. It's dangerous. Don't be like me, kids.
And last thing that I can think of off the top of my head is a rumored remake of Tales of Vesperia, which is one of the more fun Tales of games. And the thing with Vesperia is, if you didn't already know, it had a simultaneous English-Japanese release on the 360.
Yeah.
Very well received, but because it was on the 360 and Microsoft just does not sell all that great in Japan, it didn't get a huge reception. It didn't make a huge splash sales-wise, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
And then the full version came out on the PS3.
Yeah.
And what really rankled me is that you can see a whole bunch of the files for the full version on the 360 disc.
Oh.
So if they are doing it again, hopefully it is the full version so I can finally play the full game.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of games that would be part of my backlog for it, that is in fact one of them. I have actually played it, though, just not very far. So that actually has a little bit of a leg up on some of my other backlog games, and that I've actually played a little bit of it. So, but yeah, that's one I'd be interested in that. I'm just like finding time for multi-hour RPGs. It's like, I don't even want to play.
It's definitely a time sink.
I don't even want to play the games that I know are only going to be like 5 or 6 hours. I don't want to play ones that's like 60 to 80. Jeez. That's pretty much all I know of from E3 so far. And that's really, those are the big announcements, really. I mean, that's all been leaked or announced, already shown. We know they're going to have Team Sonic Racing playable, I believe, at E3.
Yeah.
So that could be interesting.
Hopefully we'll get more info on Beyond Good and Evil 2, and it doesn't turn into vaporware again.
Oh, or turn into an online, like, Destiny 2-style game, because that seems to be what every publisher wants to do now, and it's an online game, I do know that. So I'm kind of worried a little bit about Beyond Good and Evil 2, because it doesn't look like it's going to be an actual follow-up to the first game.
No, it's a prequel.
or an actual prequel to the first game. I don't know. That game worries me. The more I hear about that game, the more it worries me about it. The more I'm worried that it's just kind of a third-person shooter in Beyond Good and Evil clothing. Ugh. I'm a little worried. An online shooter. I don't know. So maybe Ubisoft can change my mind, but yeah.
We'll see.
Yep.
But now that we're good and depressed, let's move on to the Q&A.
Hey! Yep, the Q&A is where you can ask questions, and usually Ian will answer them. I don't always have the answers, but Ian usually does.
If you want to jump to the front of the line, head over to patreon.com/bumblecast, toss a few dollars our way, and get put into the priority Q&A queue. Otherwise, wait for the standard Q&A, and everyone's question will be answered eventually.
Yes, you can email us at bumblecast@yahoo.com. At Twitter, @BumbleCast, or down in the YouTube comments below the video version of this podcast. All right, first up, we got the priority Q&A from our lovely patrons. Here's one from Fatolar. What was the one thing you wanted to do most in the Archieverse that you can't do now?
Finish it.
Oh.
Either version.
Can you finish an ongoing comic?
Well, no, but, you know, at least finish the storylines.
At least finish your current arcs. That would be nice, I suppose.
Twice now I build to the crescendo, and it's like, done.
Stop doing that. Just don't do that. Or do. Keep doing that.
It's kind of hard to, you know, not build an ongoing structural narrative in an ongoing series where everyone wants the...
It's kind of hard to tell a story without telling a story. I don't know. Yeah, man. I think people can do it. Lots of people do it in like TV shows and stuff. Like, look at cartoons. It's like one episode, one story. No overarching narrative ever. It's perfect.
And I know there are some folks who legit that style for a Sonic book, and others I've seen saying, where's the lore? Where's the depth and the breadth of the world that the old books had? And it's like, we're 5 issues old!
Yeah, I know. It's like,
I mean, I could front-load it if you want it, but then it would just be text. It would be a book.
No, you're building up to it. You gotta build up to these things. You go back to the first 5 issues of the Archie series, and it's pretty much just like one-off silly joke funny books. They aren't really, there's really not much substance to them. Sorry, guys. the first 5 issues of the Archie Sonic run are, they're fine for what they are, but they're a far cry from where the book ended up. I will say that.
First 5 after the reboot were so heavy on the world and character establishing, but that was more of a throw a fire blanket on the inferno type of situation. So,
right, yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, we're getting away from the point of the question. There are a few ideas that I would like to have been able to get to, but now that we have the IDW Sonic, there is a possibility to take some of those new ideas and adjust them for the new direction of the book and see if those fit. So I don't want to put too fine an answer on that because that could potentially be spoilery. I do know that there is one thing right now that's being pitched that, you know, if it goes forward, that's an old idea that might actually get to see some life. But again, I can't really tease it because you can't reveal this stuff before it's too early and it's being approved and blah, 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 blah. So yes, there's lots of things that I would like to have been able to wrap up or investigate. And no, I can't really go into detail on them just yet because of lots of outside factors.
Right. And there's also the possibility of it showing up in Lost Hedgehog Tales when you get around to that.
Right, which I finally thought we were out of the woods with that, and I learned something else. I was like, oh, no, I better keep my head down because I do not want this to cause a hiccup in the road. So,
right.
Yet again, it gets shelved again. Oh, I hate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, well. Next one comes from our good buddy, Scruffy Matt. Howdy, fellas!
Howdy, Scruffy.
I was wondering if you'd seen the trailer for Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee versions, what you thought,
yes,
and whether you intended to get the games. Is there any particular Pokemon you'd like to have as a walking buddy in the games in the style that Pikachu and Eevee will be in the Let's Go?
Did you see it, Kyle?
No.
Oh,
I have heard about it, but I have not seen the trailers, and I don't really have any intention of buying it at this point. Not for any other reason other than I just don't need more games on my backlog, and I also don't have a Switch right now, so yeah. But you know, what I've heard sounds kind of interesting. The integration of it between Pokemon Go and Pokemon Let's Go is like, well, finally, they're doing something with Pokemon Go. So
yeah,
that's kind of good to hear, but it's not really that detailed. There's not really anything. It's like you throw your Pokemon from Pokemon Go onto like a random farm or something.
That's a thing. Unless they're not being clear about it, it sounds like your Pokemon Go critters can't be used in the main game. They're just kind of there.
Yeah, that's what
I heard. No bueno. That's an immediate no sale for me there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the idea of running around Kanto again in an updated look is cute. I don't know if it's full console price cute. And the connectivity of Go being just a zoo, I guess, from what it seems like, is like, no, I'll hard pass. It's not really worth the time or the money for me. I mean, somebody else might get more out of it, and the ability to have two people co-op play is really neat.
Mm-hmm.
But that alone is not worth playing through Gen 1 again for me.
Mm. No random battles is a very appealing thought to me. So,
yeah.
Because I'm that guy.
I don't know. For Pokemon, to me, the random battles are that kind of fun. What am I getting into now? Even if you know what's in the region, even if it's like the same thing that comes at you again and again and again just to be murdered by your little pet destroyer, there's still a little bit of excitement of, oh, what's in the wild that I'm going to come across?
No, it's just really frustrating. I'm tired of Zubats. Dang Zubats!
Buy some repels!
I don't need you! Go away! Get out of my life!
But if I had the option of an actual Pokemon critter running alongside me, it would be Eevee. No questions asked, no hesitation. Give me that little fluffy boy, he's mine.
Run Mudkip. I heard you like Mudkip.
Yeah.
You like Mudkip? I like Mudkip. I like Mudkip.
Don't get me started on Gen 3. I hate Gen 3.
I want a Mudkip on my... I don't even know anything about the game Mudkip's from. I don't know anything about any other Pokemon that's from the generation that Mudkip's from, but I just like Mudkip. And I actually like Mudkip. It's a fun little design. He's cool. He or she is cool. It could be either one. I like Mudkip. So I want a Mudkip going. I'll take a Mudkip walking around with me. Sure, why not? And the last priority Q&A question comes from none other than Saturn Flicky. Tangles really struck a chord with the Sonic fandom. In all my years as a Sonic fan, I don't think I've ever seen a new character, let alone a comic character, get such a big, enthusiastic, and near unanimously positive welcome. What did the folks at IDW think of the reaction? Have Sega given any feedback or well wishes?
I, along with the rest of the IDW crew, were kind of floored. Because, like you, Saturn Flicky, I've never seen anything like this.
Mm-hmm.
I've said it before, I'll say it again. I was awed and humbled by the response. And the IDW folks were likewise impressed with the passion of the Sonic fandom. As for Sega, not that I work directly with them or can really speak for anyone at the company, but the Sega shop did have that exclusive deal where you could get the first four issues and a Sonic and Tangle t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, as far as I know, the only time a non-game character has been featured on Sega merch, aside from Sally way back in the day.
Yeah.
Sally was kind of a weird case in that the structure of, you know, who controlled what part of the franchise was kind of vague. And I think most of the Sally merch was in the Australian branch for some reason. But this is the first time, you know, Sega of America, and I'm assuming in conjunction with Sega of Japan, had official merchandise featuring a non-game character. So that's huge. And even if you want to just say blanket statement, all of Sega, you know, non-game character, she's the second in, what, 20, 25 years of the franchise?
It's almost 30 at this point, yeah.
So that's nuts. That's huge. That's crazy.
Yeah. To have.
I don't think it means that she's going to appear in anything else anytime soon, but, you know, all of the new characters are being designed with it in mind that if Sega were to become keen to them, they would be easy to transplant. So who knows? Who knows? Certainly not me.
That would be really freaking cool, though. I'll have a Tangle game. Why not? I'll play that. Would you play that, Ian?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, good. I'm glad. Maybe she can be a character in Team Sonic Racing. Yeah, it would be like the most obvious place to put comic characters, I think, would be in big games like that. Crossover.
Or the mobile games. Or, I mean, she would work in
Like
Sonic Forces Speed Battle? Is that what it's called?
I don't know. I do know Sonic Runners. Is that still a thing? Or is it a thing again?
They retooled it and then didn't touch it. So, blah. But, yeah, Sonic Forces Speed Battle actually is continually getting updates and tweaks and commands more of my time than I'd like to admit openly.
Well, I mean, I would expect that you would play it considering your penchant for Sonic. I mean, do you like Sonic? I don't know. Is this a thing?
Not as much as you like Mudkip.
Oh, I don't think anybody can like Sonic as much as I like Mudkip.
Well, I bet it's been my career for almost 12 years.
Yeah, but you don't know. You don't know what's in my head. I don't even think about Mudkip very often. I don't think about Mudkip hardly at all until somebody asks me what Pokemon I like, and I'm like, I like Mudkip. And yeah. I don't even know why I like Mudkip. There's really no reason.
The meme has weaseled in your brain.
I think that might be it. I'm just, my brain has become a meme. It's just, that's all it is. It's all that's left. All the other, everything else has turned to dust and cobwebs.
Start calling you Kyle JCR meme.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, standard Q&A time. Here's one from Diamond Death. On the subject of the two worlds, has it ever been officially established whether Eggman was from the human world? If so, why would he travel to another world to rule it? Maybe he knew he was no match for Gunn and wanted to build up his forces in another world first.
In terms of official statement, in Sonic X, Eggman flat out says that he comes from the human world, but it seems to be something of a surprise to him. But Sonic X took liberties with the known game canon, but it was also the first one to explicitly introduce the two worlds ideas that, you know, the games just kind of didn't really touch. So I don't know. And from all of that I know, both public and private, I don't think it's been established when or why he came to Sonic's world. So there are a multitude of reasons and that it could be, and a lot of it hinges on when and how he got there. So there's a ton of possibility. But in terms of official statement, none that I know of.
All right. And James asks, Ian, could you actually do a bit of Star Wars IDW stuff?
Could I? Yes. Would I? Yes. Have I? Not yet. But the folks at IDW know that I am always eager for work, and I like Star Wars, so maybe one day.
Can you? Does IDW have Star Wars at all?
Oh, yeah.
They do?
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was all Marvel.
No, IDW has it for some weird reason.
What is IDW doing for Star Wars?
They did a tie-in to the new Solo movie. They've done a series that focused mostly on the female characters of the universe. Can't think of some other stuff off the top of my head. But I think they're more of the younger audience titles. Well, I think the more teen and adult titles might be done by Marvel. I'm not sure.
Huh. I did not even know that at all.
Yep.
Huh. Interesting. Okay. Well, I've learned something today. It shows how much I've been paying attention. And the last question comes from @BloodySmile. Does Tangle have any hobbies? Also, what's her favorite color?
Favorite color is orange. That's why she wears it. Her hobbies are mostly training and sparring, boxing, self-betterment exercise, that sort of thing. She's very high energy, and she always needs to find ways to let it out.
All right. And that's it for the Q&A on this episode of the Bumblecast. Let's go out with all the good stuff, Ian. All the stuff we need to know, and all the people who make this show what it is.
That's right. It's time to give a shout-out to Eric F., Daniel H., Alex P., Saturn Flicky, Brando Fatoller, Scruffy Matt, Chris A., John B., Sam Cybercat, Mike B., Samuel P., Jennifer R., David C., Revan the Light, Lisa M., AE Double, Brody M., Neil H., Damo, Justin S., Justin G., Connell D., Mike D., Adam T., Silly String, Ducaro, Michael AQ., Lee H. K. Chevelle, Don B. Sin Fritz, Taco Elgato Comics, John M. S. Savarovich 9X, James K. Tick Tick, Papa Drippa Lappy Deep KKM, Overthink Films, Adam BT.
No! Don't cut out at Ron! Don't cut out at Ron!
I cut out at Ron?
Yes, you cut out at Ron! No!
What dark force got in the way of Ron?
Ron! No! Ron! Where can people find you, Ian?
They can find me on my website at bumbleking.com. That has my con schedule. That has my recent releases all on a calendar. It's got my entire work history. All that good stuff. Or if you just want to see whatever I'm thinking at the moment, go to Twitter at IanFlynnBKC. What about you, Kyle? Where can they find you?
They can find me on Twitter at KyleJCRB. I don't post much there, but if you hit me up and you say something to me, I'll usually respond. I'll usually catch it. So I'm kind of paying attention to Twitter, so you know, you can message me there. You can also find me at KNGI.org, where you can also find my show Nitro Game Injection that streams live on Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can find it right there at KNGI.org. And it's It's a fun show. It's a fun show. It's all about video game music and video game music remixes and all sorts of other cool stuff, music related, video game music related. So it's a good time.
If you want updates on the show or to ask us anything, head over to Twitter at Bumblecast. You can also catch us every Friday if you're a patron for live streaming. We also have a Twitch channel, but we haven't had time to touch it in a while, so I'm not even going to plug it at this point. But look forward to gaming with Kyle this Friday, you patrons, because I'm going to be doing Heroes Gone.
Yeah, all right. And don't forget, you can also email us at bumblecast@yahoo.com. And hit up our Bumble store at shop.spreadshirt.com/Bumble store, where you can buy some Bumble gear for your Bumble body.
What? That's the new official logo. I like it.
What, Bumble gear for your Bumble body?
Yes.
All right. Let's Bumble on out of here.
This has been episode 70 of the Bumblecast. Everyone have a lovely weekend and enjoy E3.
Bumblecast out. Poor Ron.
And Ron.
Thank you. I'll cut that in and I'll take that whole part and stick it at the end of the show.
I don't know. It's kind of fun to just leave it as is.
Oh, okay. We'll do that. Okay, then I'll just leave it. Hey, why not? Hey, thanks for listening to the Bumblecast. If you like the show, be sure to hit that subscribe button and consider supporting us on Patreon. We have some great rewards as well as big plans to make the show even better. Also, rate and review the show on iTunes. It gets more folks listening and really helps us out, so we definitely appreciate it. Original music by Ken Coda Snyder, used with permission. Find more of his music at bc.s3m.us and find the theme song at noisechanradio.bandcamp.com, available as a pay-what-you-want download.
One thing I did want to bring up, but we didn't get a really good chance to do so, is I wonder what tentpole IP Nintendo will trot out this time. Because they usually have some big reveal, you know?
Uh-huh.
You know, something you didn't expect. Like, we didn't see Metroid Prime 4 coming at all.
Mm-hmm.
But we just had Mario Odyssey. We just had Breath of the Wild and Hyrule Warriors come out. They just brought over Mario Kart 8. We know that they're bringing Smash and Fire Emblem and they've got a big update coming to Splatoon. So I don't know if they would trot out anything new, you know?
F-Zero.
It's dead, Kyle.
I know. My dreams don't.
Oh yeah, Arms should be in Smash Bros. But
Arms, Arms 2. What'd you say?
She's heckling me because you know I'm writing the Arms graphic novel. And it...
Oh well, you think about it all the time. Why would you think about it now? Maybe Arms 2 will have an actual lyric budget for their main theme.
I honestly am not sure if we'll get an Arms 2, because
I don't think Arms did all that well. Yeah.
They're pushing it really hard. They really want it to be big, but I don't think it's done nearly as well as Splatoon.
No, it hasn't. And I like Arms. I haven't even played it, but I like the look of it.
Oh, it's quirky and cool.
It's a great looking game, but I don't think it caught on the same way Splatoon has or anything. So I think it's kind of one of those IPs that Nintendo will be like, yeah, that's cool. Maybe they'll announce Nintendogs. Maybe that'll be their tentpole surprise for this one. And be like, yeah, new Nintendogs! And everybody will be like, yay, Nintendogs! And then, yeah.
There's been rumblings of a new full Animal Crossing.
Maybe that's a possibility,
but there's so much going on in the mobile version. I wonder if they bother.
Yeah. Trying to think of other big Nintendo franchises that aren't old Nintendo franchises that aren't really a thing anymore.
Sakurai's busy with Smash, so I don't think we'll be seeing a Kid Icarus anytime soon.
Probably Kirby something, but that's never really a surprise.
We just got a Kirby, though.
That's true. We did, didn't we? Yeah. Maybe they'll bring back something. I don't think what they'd even bring back. No, Wave Race? Did they bring that back? They did a remake of Wave Race 64 with everything the same, just better, then I'd be fine with that. Geez, they don't really have many other tentpole franchises that they aren't tapping into. Even like Star Fox, the Star Fox racing game. Maybe that was their big announcement, but it got leaked. I don't know. Their big surprise. Maybe. But even then, that doesn't seem like much of a surprise, considering that Star Fox Zero bombed, and there's not nearly as much excitement around Star Fox's franchise as there is something like Metroid, especially Metroid Prime.
Right. I mean, Metroid may not be getting many games, but at least they're all usually pretty solid. Star Fox is like, fool me one, shame on me. Fool me four times in a row, god damn it!
I can't think of anything else. Like, I'm gonna look up here because I'm like, I know there's like Nintendo franchises that I'm just not thinking of that exist and that I can't remember. I don't know. Maybe a new 1080 snowboarding. I doubt it.
Given how much work went into Breath of the Wild, I can't imagine they'd announce a sequel. So
Mother 3 would be like the only thing I could think of that would be like a huge deal.
Yeah.
Thinking about it, like if they actually came out with Mother 3, that would be the biggie. Otherwise, like new WarioWare game or something, maybe.
I feel like they just did one of those recently.
But they think, yeah, you think so. And we know Bayonetta 3 is coming, so that's not really a major surprise.
Xenoblade Dude 2 just came out.
Yeah.
So and the developers say they want to do more, but it's too early for that.
Yeah, so we're probably not getting a Xenoblade.
Can't imagine they would relaunch Punch-Out again to compete with ARMS.
Mm-mm.
And if they crossed those over, there would be bloody murder.
I would be all for, like, a Little Mac appearance in ARMS, though.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great, but if it was, like, a full-on merger of the two people would be
Yeah. Yeah, I really think they've pretty much kind of tapped into everything, unless there's, like, a Mario, one of the side Marios, like a Paper Mario or something, but...
Or maybe it's a new IP that we don't even know about.
That's possible, too. Nintendo's original IPs in recent years have been pretty solid, so I'm sure they could come up with something. I know people would really love to see something in the Golden Sun series, but they haven't touched that series in years, so...
Well, is that pure Nintendo, or is that somebody else?
Well, that's Nintendo through Camelot.
Okay, does Camelot even exist anymore?
I don't know. Let's see. Nintendo published Golden Sun. Camelot developed it, and Camelot does a lot of, Camelot's pretty much worked exclusively for Nintendo since the Game Boy Color.
Oh, wow, okay.
So, all the only thing they did before that was the Shining Force series, so, but, let's see. Yeah, Camelot's doing the new Mario Tennis game.
Okay.
But, they haven't done anything with Golden Sun since the DS, so that's possible. I didn't even remember that they did a Golden Sun game for the DS, so interesting.